It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, HPR1 stations statewide and online, HawaiiPublicRadio.org. Friday afternoons, we put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to folks with disabilities and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are thrilled to be welcoming back Hawaii Meals on Wheels. This is one of those organizations that does a whole lot of good in a couple of different ways. As their website notes, Hawaii Meals on Wheels dedicated to helping Honolulu area elders and individuals with disabilities preserve their independence at home. They provide hot, nutritious meals and also regular personal interaction that comes with those meals. And there are a lot of ways to support the mission, too, which is often as invaluable for the socialization it provides as those meals. And speaking on their behalf today, we are thrilled to welcome Hawaii Meals on Wheels CEO Michelle Cordero Lee joining us for Helping Hand. Hi, Michelle. Great to have you here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. And this is one of those familiar names all over the country that you hear about. You don't have to worry about that now. We're doing that after the segment. And a lot of people have helped Meals on Wheels, really. It's the kind of thing, if you're not from Hawaii, you could have been helping them in a lot of different other cities, too. But here in Hawaii, there are a couple different programs, it seems, that use the name. Are you guys statewide and kind of differentiate yourself so that people can tell who you are versus the others?
Right. So we are one of three Meals on Wheels programs on the island that are full-fledged nonprofits. We differentiate ourselves because we primarily serve hot meals with what I call a medically therapeutic diet. Mm. So many of our clients, and actually the average age is 86 years old. Wow. We have about a little over 10 clients who are over the age of 100. And so many of our clients are to the point where they need a medically therapeutic meal. So we don't make our own meals. We partner with a lot of the hospitals and nursing homes on the island. So if a client needs a renal diet or they need a chopped or pureed diet, we're able to get that meal to that client. And because so many of our clients cannot warm up their own meal, they need a hot meal that's delivered to them. So that's basically our differentiation. The other Meals on Wheels programs, I know, will serve frozen meals, which is great as well. There's so many seniors in need, but that is our unique distinction.
And that would mean that they would be able to heat that up when they needed,
right,
when they wanted to eat,
right,
it. I get it. Now, that's a great distinction. And that's a humble picture that you paint in terms of why people would want to support it. So what's offered? So we'll do this in two halves. First, what you guys offer, and then how we can support you guys. So for people who are in need themselves, maybe they don't have family, or for folks who have a loved one and they think this could be a good thing for them, or just someone in their life, explain what could be provided and the nature of the service.
Right. So with the rising in the elder population, especially with the baby boomer population retiring, the increase in need for a hot meal is becoming a demand. Mm. So we get a number of, and especially in Hawaii, where our kupuna live longer than other states, we get so many family members who might be even calling us from the mainland, from outer island, telling us about an uncle, you know, or a grandfather, or their father.
And you just serve people in the Honolulu area?
We do just serve, on Oahu, right. Yes, okay. Who need meals on the island. So what I always recommend, that if you are a client searching for meals or a family member, go ahead and give our office a call, and we can direct you to the right resources. We can also tell you about the qualification process.
And who is it appropriate for? So in general, if you're thinking about it, it's somebody who is
over the age of 60.
Over the age of 60 and homebound?
And homebound, yes.
Okay.
And so homebound means they are unable to cook, make their own meals. They might have some other debilitating issues, such as a chronic illness, mm-hmm, a terminal illness, or they may also not be able to dress themselves, not be able to get out of the house on a daily basis.
These are some of the requirements to participate,
right,
basically.
Right.
And then, are there any costs for these people?
Well, many of our clients are funded by the federal and the state government. Mm-hmm. So what we'll do is we'll work with the clients to make sure that they get interviewed by the proper caseworkers on the state side.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, about over 70% of our clients are funded by the federal or state.
And what does that mean? So translate that. That means they're on food stamps, they're on something like that? Or what does that mean?
They might have such a minimal fixed income that the state and the city sort of look at it, they realize, okay, this person is highly qualified for our services. So income does play a role in it.
Right. And so the state, so the government reviews who gets the service for free?
Right. Right. So there's about 70% of our clients that are funded by the city and state, but then there's also about 30 of our clients that are funded by other funding sources.
Okay. And so then the client, just to be clear, mm-hmm. are they on the hook for money?
So, no. I mean, unless they're doing what we call a private pay service with us.
Okay. So then it's either going to be paid for. So someone wants to be part of your service. You get their information. Then it's reviewed by the government to mm-hmm. determine if they're eligible to have their service paid
exactly.
for by the government.
Exactly.
And if it's not, then you come up with another funding source for it.
Right.
And so, that person, though, the person getting the meals delivered does not pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, so many of our clients contribute anyways by donating to us as a nonprofit,
sure.
which is just amazing to me, the outpouring mm-hmm. of support that we get from our clients.
Because they're grateful for it.
I mean,
there's no question about that.
Exactly.
And then there's other ways that you're getting supported. Like in terms of the food acquisition, you explained it because it's fascinating. It's medically therapeutic diet. So it's not just any meals that you want to be serving to these people. How exactly does that food acquisition? So you're contracting kitchens to make it for you?
Exactly. That's
so you're giving them cash. You're paying them to do it.
Right. We're paying for the meals with the nursing homes and the hospitals. And, you know, the reason why we contract with these institutions is because they have a nutritionist on site.
Mm-hmm.
So we can tap into that expertise.
Exactly. They've already got to do it. So they're just making more of it.
Right.
And it's already food that is already going to be made for somebody who is medically fragile or needs specific dietary needs. And you're just, they're just expert in preparing that kind of food versus, you know, a different kind of food. I get that. And then how many different meals does the person, is it one meal a day? How many days a week? That sort of thing.
Many of our clients are on a minimum of two meals a week, but most of our clients are with us 5 days a week.
So it's from two to five times.
Two to five times, yeah.
And does that include weekends or no?
No, it does not include weekends.
No weekends. Okay. And so that illustrates to some of these people, it's a tougher time on those couple of days.
Right. It is a tougher time in a sense, but when we interview the clients as well as when the caseworker comes out from the city or state, what happens is that we look at the amount of support that the client has on the weekend. So if a client has absolutely no support, then we will make, you know, three meals for that client on a Friday, and then they'll put two in the refrigerator.
Ah.
And then usually a lot of times they're tapping their neighbors to help them out on the weekends. So that's really key for us is we're not there to just sort of leave the meal and go. We go through a whole wellness check with the clients.
Right. That's the other half of this. So you guys show up with the food. That's a great lead in a wellness check. Explain that part of it. And because I always look at this as a critical part of this, maybe just as important as the food, is that interaction. Because some folks don't have anyone else in their life. And that interaction could be the brightest moment of their day or week when it occurs.
And you're right. So the three key things that lead to the debilitation of a senior is hunger, falls, as well as
isolation.
So those are the three key factors that lead to the debilitation of a senior. And what our service does is we are providing all three of those. We are providing nutrition. We are providing a wellness check, and we're providing a friendship between a volunteer and a client, where our clients literally sit there and wait at the front door to see their weekly volunteer. So that connection is just amazing in terms of the decrease in depression,
right.
the decrease in falls, because, you know, our volunteers will sit there and say, hey, you have this thing in your driveway. Do you want me to, you know, move it? It looks like it could be unstable. I mean, you know, things like that, or, you know, talk to the client in terms of safety.
Yeah.
Or talk to the family in terms of safety.
There's a lot of valuable.
Right. And it really, our volunteers who are out there helping us every single day, we have about 400 volunteers.
Wow.
And they're really the key to the work that we do, yeah, because they're that extra set of eyes for the clients and the family.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times we've had a volunteer call and say, oh my gosh, I found so-and-so outside disheveled, and she was sitting next to the mailbox. She couldn't get up.
Right.
And nobody found her until our volunteer found that person,
right,
you know, or so-and-so fell and we couldn't get in because the door was locked. So we got to call 911 and, you know,
that's a wellness check.
Right. And call the family members. And that happened just last week.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about it. When you talk about the age of folks and, yeah, it's very, very humbling. All the things you have in life that you take for granted when you have your mobility.
Right.
Basically,
right.
It's the nature of that, and it can get taken in a couple different ways. Do you have the an eat out option for regular get-togethers with others? There used to be something like that where there was like a place where people would come and eat together at some kind of thing.
Oh, so that's congregate dining.
Yeah, congregate dining.
That is we unfortunately don't do.
You don't do it anymore.
Congregate dining.
Okay.
We've never
somebody
done it.
Does
yeah.
That.
Yes. Lana
okay.
Kila Meals on Wheels does congregate dining.
Okay.
And you know their congregate dining service is really great as well, because we primarily concentrate on much older age seniors who
I get
are at
it.
Home.
No, I get it. Yeah. That's cool though that there are different ways to try to do this for people and meet their needs,
right,
and be as therapeutic as you can. We talk about 400 volunteers. That's pretty humbling. For folks who want to support the program, I think obviously you've already explained you're paying specific kinds of kitchens to prepare the food. So people making financial donations is a way to help out people in need to get food that you're going to be buying from these kitchens. But you also illustrated with these volunteers, just as equally as making a donation that would help you purchase the food, is the delivering of the food aspect and the interaction with folks. For people who would like to participate, are there any sort of requirements in terms of how much time they need to commit? Or do you want to paint a little picture and a pitch as to how people can get involved and what they can expect to be doing?
Sure. We are super flexible with volunteers, and we actually have 4 full-time staff drivers to come in and jump in and support the volunteers if needed. So many of our volunteers are retired themselves,
right,
and they have vacations and families they need to attend to, so we totally get that. And when they call us in and say, hey, I can't do my route this week because, you know, my family's in town, sure, not a problem. Our staff driver will fill in for you, not a problem at all. And people don't realize how easy it is because you're not having to pick up all the meals at one central location. You're actually having to, you can stay in your neighborhood, pick up at the hospital closest to you. So if you live in Aiea, you pick up at Palimomi. If you live in Kaneohe, you pick up at Castle. And then you get to deliver to your neighbors.
About how many people per driver?
So it is about 10 to 12 stops. And because our meal is hot, we make sure that the route is not too burdensome because we have to deal with food safety issues, of course. And so we have to contain the route so that it's done within an hour, hour and a half at the most.
And they're doing that a couple times a week or once a week?
Yeah, so we have volunteers that do it once a week. We have others that do it once every other month. We have teachers who do it only on summer breaks.
So you're showing the flexibility is massive. So it's not, the commitment can really be, and it's a different time of day, or is it always at a certain basic time of day?
It is. So we serve lunch only. We have 2 dinner routes. You know, for, you know, especially for some of the teachers who want to do it after school. You know, with a majority of our routes, we have 54 routes, majority of them are a lunchtime route. So pickup is usually about 9:30 to 10 o'clock, and then they go and make their way with the meals. And
they're about
usually
one,
done. Yeah, they're usually
like
done by within an hour.
An hour. Oh, by noon then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so drivers, there's donating, other aspects of ways that we can help that besides those two.
Yeah. And we, you know, we have a lot of really great corporate volunteers, and one of them being First Insurance Company of Hawaii, who's doing a great campaign for us. So First Insurance Company of Hawaii, their employees take on 2 routes a week.
And the campaign is ongoing?
It's ongoing till September 20th. And basically, if you go to their Facebook at First INS High, First Insurance Hawaii, so that's what that stands for, First INS High, and you type in your favorite food memory from a kapuna, they'll unlock $10 for us, and they're going to be raising about $20,000 for us this year. So
that's an easy way to get involved. I mean, there's lots of different levels of involvement, and I like that. It helps you to tap into people at different levels of how much they want to get involved on it. And how about anything like on your board or any in your office, other tangible supplies?
Yes. Always looking for board members to volunteer with us. We're always looking for what we call administrative support in the office, whether it's stuffing envelopes or, you know, helping us answer the phones.
So it's not just driving that you could use on the volunteer. And the office would be, that's in Honolulu?
It's in Manoa.
In Manoa, okay.
Yeah.
So Honolulu area.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. There are several different ways that we've painted a picture. And there's a level for just about anybody. And here's how to basically learn more and accomplish many of those things. Their website is hmow.org, as in Hawaii Meals on Wheels. You can contact them via a contact form there on the contact page at their website, or you can give them a call if you're inspired and want to do something and we didn't cover the exact method. It would be 808-988-6747. You can find the full interview, the radio feature, all their contact information, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org, where we archive these segments online. Anything else that we did not cover that you want to get in there?
No, we're so grateful to Hawaii Public Radio. I mean, I'm a sustaining member, and you guys do such a great job of supporting a lot of the community and the nonprofits here. So thank you so much.
You are welcome. It's Hawaii Meals on Wheels, Michelle Cordero Lee, joining us for Helping Hand and a lot of different ways to help out. A lot of people who are probably really appreciative to have your volunteers show up. And if we inspired any new volunteers who are going to be having somebody waiting at the door for them, what an image that you present, and what a rewarding thing it must be when that person shows up. If we got any new ones for you today, I'll be real grateful. So thanks for coming down here and putting the word out.
Yep, thank you.